Good morning, Julia Loy.
Oh, good morning, Paul. How are you today?
I'm good. I know you're on your way to Cairns. So what we might ask you about that first. Why are you on your way to Cairns?
Okay. Every 2 months, there is a meeting of the Far North Queensland Regional Organisation of Councils. And so that's all the councils in the FNQ ROC. There's 13 councils. And so, as I've already said, we have a meeting every 2 months. Today's meeting is in Cairns. Every second meeting, we go out into the regions. And I know, actually, the next meeting is in Cooktown. So what we do is we talk about all the issues and concerns that are common to our particular region. We also have representations and presentations from various people, and this morning we've got presentations from the role of the Independent Assessor and Integrity Commissioner, and that's followed by Dave Edwards, who's in the Special Projects Unit of State Government, and so I know that we'll hear more about the Wongeti Trail and also about the Queensland, Far North Queensland Adventure and Nature-Based Tourism Hub. And the last presentation prior to our formal agenda is an app specialist from Telstra. So obviously Telstra is a big issue for all of us in councils across FNQ ROC. We know that connectivity, problems with Telstra, particularly during bad weather, we experienced that here in Douglas. And so we've been a strong advocate to Telstra to improve their game up here.
Okay, well, good luck with that today. Now, just on the same sort of thing, Queensland councils have overwhelmingly rejected the Palaszczuk government's planned changes to local government election voting rules, including forcing voters to number every box at next year's poll. You were part of that, Julia?
Yes, there was a huge meeting last Tuesday in Brisbane. All the mayors were called down for a meeting. There was about 300 people all up. There's 77 councils in Queensland, and so 72 of those councils were represented. It's only the second meeting that they've had outside of the normal conference time, which is a once-a-year thing, usually in October. Because of the concerns, very sort of quite deep concerns about the proposed changes that the government is going to do across a range of things for local government, we know and we support many of the changes as a result of the Belcarra investigation and those reforms. And they're a no-brainer in terms of there's been some very poor behaviour and corrupt behaviour by mayors, CEOs and some staff in a few South East Queensland councils. Thankfully, that hasn't applied up here, which is fantastic. But the local government sector is really concerned that some of these so-called reforms or proposed new legislation is far beyond that and was only first announced on the 5th of March. So what has occurred is that the government has quite clearly stated that they're going to introduce a number of measures, and these things we actually do support, like real-time disclosure of electoral spending, tightening of the conflict of interest and material personal interest provisions, a definition of what is a group of candidates, mandatory training for candidates and councillors, dedicated campaign bank accounts. They're also going to prohibit the use of credit cards for campaign expenses, tightening of reporting of gifts. But the things that I suppose LGAQ and very, very strongly opposed by all the councils who are present at the meeting is changes that would introduce compulsory preferential voting. That's a new distinction that before. It's a feeling also that most of these changes, or the ones that are only announced on the 5th of March, were not things that even the state government are prepared to introduce for themselves. And we feel there's a real political motive, and a lot of people are talking about the fact that they really want to change what's occurring in Brisbane City Council, for example, because Brisbane City Council is like its own sort of mini parliament. It has a Liberal group and a Labor group, and whereas most of the rest of Queensland, and certainly something I really strongly support, is an independent council. Party politics should not come into local government. People should be elected on the basis of what they can offer their local community, and they should be elected on the basis that they don't have any other agenda. They don't kowtow to vested interests, for example. The best councils are the ones that work closely together, you know, for the benefit of their entire community and not just one section.
Mm. Well, Julie, just on another matter, this most invasive pests in North Queensland, the electric ants, I mean, they pose a major threat to agricultural industries. The state government needs the help of the community, and I guess they need the help of local councils as well, to get rid of these electric ants. You'd echo those calls, of course.
Oh, look, absolutely. We know that they have made inroads into Cadugga Shire, and you might notice that there's signs up. I know around Rocky Point there is, certainly along highways. And that's just alerting people to the possibility, I suppose, of electric ants. State government has a particular program, and our council, of course, supports that very strongly.
Absolutely. Now, these preliminary results from a community survey that you've run have revealed that Douglas Shire ratepayers value their roads the most. The results came from 654 responses ahead of the first community workshops in Cape Tribulation and Cow Bay last Friday, Julia. So, you know, when the ratepayers are asked, they say roads are what we're interested in mainly.
Yes, look, it's been fantastic, actually, the response that we've had since then. We've had more than 700 responses now, and certainly the top four, the key top four, are roads, parks, gardens, and, you know, general sort of areas that people love sort of as they drive around, environmental protection and economic development. They've been the sort of four key standout responses in terms of the survey, and it's not unexpected that roads would come up number one. It does in every local government survey, and of course it's so critical. I mean, if we don't have good roads and easy access, and if the councils don't continually improve the roads, repair the roads, and then, you know, we can't even have any decent economic development in any event. So
that's right.
We do spend, I mean, most local governments, it's a pretty key top expenditure as well.
Yeah, I know. And we've had a bit of trouble because we've had those floods which have damaged some of our roads. So that's bad news.
Well, yes, exactly. And I suppose the thing is, the timing of the survey, we would expect people to take note of that. I mean, we know we've got potholes everywhere. They seem to sort of come up as we speak, or you know, one day you're driving, you don't see a pothole, even though it hasn't really been raining that much in the last couple of days. But we're very, very focused on trying to fix up and repair everything, including the potholes. I know we've had people out there, but we've got more major repairs, of course, with all our landslips, and it's going to take some time, as we've already discussed previously.
We're talking with our Mayor Julie Aloy, who's on her way to Cairns for this two-monthly meeting that they have, which she's explained to us. Now, Julia, sand removed from the Daintree River Ferry Channel will be spread across Newell Beach to replenish the coast and help fight erosion. Now, that started last Wednesday. Is that continuing this week?
Look, it'll continue for as long as it takes to actually put all the sand along the beach. We're getting really good feedback from the residents. They're really pleased that we've done this again. We have done it previously, and as you might not be aware, that 3 years ago council placed 35 geotextile bags, and they're filled with sand on Newell Beach, and that was a very serious attempt to prevent erosion. So we know that with the weather events, we often do have some significant impact on Newell Beach, and we've been monitoring and looking at that very closely for the last few years. So it's a really good way of using the sand that we are forced to dredge from the Daintree River. We've never had to dredge it so much. This the rain and the continuing sort of massive floods that we've had with the Daintree River. I mean, even last week, it still was at minor flood level with the rain that we had early last week. And so that means that we just have a lot more sand, and it has to be dredged, because on low tide, then the ferry gets stuck, and we don't want to see that again.
That's right. And just finally, a note from a listener who texts me saying, the sound system at on the Anzac Day in port isn't all that good, the sound system, the PA system. Is that going to be fixed?
Look, I was in contact, I think, with a listener that's probably been in contact with you, and I've certainly raised it with staff on a couple of occasions, and more recently when we were having a meeting about upcoming Anzac Day, which is only in a couple of weeks now, and we're certainly doing our best to improve that. We know that people, you know, have a great roll-up, particularly at both Mawson at the Dawn Service and at Port Douglas, and we certainly want to make sure that everyone can hear.
All right, terrific. Well, you go safely, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.